Barrel Talk Radio, Barrel Horse World at the BFA.
We are here today with Dustin Angel, and I'm going to be your host, Michelle Darling, and we're going to hit a couple of topics that everybody's going to want to hear, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So let's get started. Okay, Dustin, I want to talk about probably one of my number one things that just comes right to mind, and that is Jedi. How is little Jedi doing?
He's growing, growing, and growing. Bigger personality than anything else we have in the barn, and we absolutely love him and are so looking forward to his bright future.
I can't wait until you guys start really riding him coming into the barrel pen. I think that's what I'm the most excited about. For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, Little Jedi is out of my great mare Martini, Morning Traffic, who has won over 500,000. And this baby is by Blazing Jetalina, one of the top producing stallions in the industry right now. He's just the pink buckle, the ruby buckle, they have dominated and taken over. And Dustin has this baby right now. And his name was Morning Jedi.
Yes.
And we kind of came up with that because of Blazing Jetalina and Morning Traffic. So we threw the Jedi together. Morning Jedi. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. But they got him purchased at the BFA. And for me, it made a lot of dreams come true to watch my colt bring 100,000. And then to watch what hands he went into to be trained made it that much more special for me. So what are the things you like about this colt? Like, is it the way he's built, his mind? What comes to mind when we talk about him?
Well, first off, I have to say, before he went into the sale, he had just been born. He couldn't
be a month
old.
He was a weanling.
And I text you about him for clients. And
that's right.
I was obsessed with him. The first picture I'd ever seen of him, and
that's
it
right.
Didn't work out for that particular owner at the time. We decided to wait.
That's right.
Then Southwestern Farms that I ride for, we, Papa and Nana, Samantha, the whole family, we have a soft spot for well-bred horses.
You do.
Yep. And it's hard when you go to a sale and you have something that elite in the sale.
Absolutely.
To not bring it home.
Absolutely.
How could you not want to bring that home?
I know. And he was cute and yellow and fluffy.
Yes. When we got to see him there, and Sophie texted me asking what I thought about him because Pawpaw was interested. Just said, of course, we'd be crazy not to get him.
Absolutely.
So we made the decision to watch him go through the sale and see if we could bring him home. And we have been so excited. I think Nana would say, as soon as we had him purchased in the sale, she texts me, okay, I just opened my bottle of champagne. I'm so excited.
That's amazing. What a good topic to start on.
Yes,
like I said, we love these well-bred babies.
His mind, oh, my God, it's amazing. You know, I believe when we brought him home, he was still weanling. What was he, 7 or 8 months old?
Yeah, I think he was 8 months old, and he handled the cell so amazingly.
Oh,
he went
we
in the
him
ring.
Home.
Yeah.
He went on the year sizer, like the big horses, goes on the cross ties and gets him a bath.
He's a good minded baby.
Turned him out, and then, I mean, he would run to the fence every day.
To see
the second he sees a person, he has to be with him. He doesn't want anything else. He wants to be in your pocket all the time. Now he's two. Coming 3 year old beginning of the year, and not a thing has changed about him. He wants to be in your pocket. He loves you. And it's actually funny because we would turn him out when we first started breaking him, and instead of keeping him in the barn, whenever we would go to get him to bring in to work, most horses would be like, I don't want to be ridden. That's hard work. He meets you at the gate.
He's ready to do his job.
Oh, he's man. It's more fun for you to take him out and go ride him than anything. That's what he wants. He wants to do something.
That's super exciting.
He knows he's a winner, and he hasn't even done anything yet. He's just so proud of himself.
That's okay. He's got a bright future, and I think in your hands, history will write itself. I don't see why it couldn't.
I appreciate it.
So
we're going to give it heck.
Enough about horses. Let's talk about you. How old were you when you got started in the barrel horse industry or training barrel horses on your own?
So I believe I had my first set whenever I was 16. So,
so you were 16.
15 years ago, I had my first set of Trudy colts.
Wow.
I come from a family, you know, we rode pleasure horses. And
so you have a pleasure horse background.
Yes.
That I can see when you ride so balanced. When your colts are loping, they're so collected, they're so pretty. I did not know that about you. That is interesting.
It. Yes. Yeah. So I rode performance horses for years, and my dad trained race horses for a little over 40 years.
That's a good background.
And to be honest, my dad did not like barrel racing.
Stop it. Why not?
He loved the performance horses, and he loved our race horses. So he was like, well, we can barrel race if you continue to show these performance horses we have.
That's awesome.
So, and he got into it, of course.
So you've trained a lot of horses that have went on and won under different names. I think that speaks measures about your training as well, that other people can ride behind you. To me, that's one of the biggest compliments, is if somebody can step on your horse that you've trained and go win on it. We see the stud right now that's with Shaylee, and she's winning on him, and I know that was such a blessing.
Bankers still has my heart. He's not at my house anymore.
But I know.
He will always have
but what a
place
great
to
horse that you
to.
Trained. Oh, he did amazing. You've had a lot. What is one of your favorite colts that you have trained that has went on and done big things with somebody else?
Oh,
it's tough. I know you have a lot of them. Think about it.
Yeah, it's
it's emotional. It's okay. It's all right.
Great horses.
Gray.
Mm-hmm. When they leave, they take a little piece with you.
Absolutely. And I like to see that, because these horses are not only what you're winning on, they're friends.
They
you
are.
Become
they're
bonded with them.
Us.
They grow up in your barn, and you know everything about them. So it's like sending a kid off. And I know there's so many times I cry. I know, you know, just here recently, Martini had to leave again for a little bit, and it broke. You know, I don't ever want to see her leave, and it is so hard. So I completely understand where you're coming from, because when you have that horse in your barn for 3 or 4 years, you know everything about him. You've raised him, you've trained him, and then to watch the owners or whoever buys them take them back and go on, it's
like
you're
your
proud
kid.
But it kills you. Absolutely.
You know, we have some horses that leave, and I say, I love them so much, but my job is done.
Absolutely.
He's ready for somebody to step on him and win him. And win on him. And that's our goal. We want our horses to go to rodeo homes when they leave. And I want when somebody gets on our horses to say, this is easy, and they enjoy it.
Absolutely.
That's our main goal. Our goal isn't exactly – of course, we want to win in the futurity industry, but we're definitely not going to take one out and go do something with it that's not going to better the horse.
You want to see them do good. And I don't think people out there that are listening know this about a lot of you futurity trainers, derby trainers, just horse trainers in general. You become one with that horse so
for sure.
much. You bond with them. You know everything about them. And for somebody else, you know, and that's the other thing, is like, call and ask those trainers questions. Don't try to figure it out on your own. The best compliment is for them to call and say, hey, what is this horse like? What am I doing wrong? Let's fix this. Don't torture the horse and try to figure it out on your own. Call the trainer.
Yes.
That is a huge topic that needs to be addressed.
I agree. And, you know, when you know a horse frontwards to backwards for several years, a lot of the things that they need help with is just a simple fix. It's
Absolutely.
Something that can be fixed over the phone. Just talk about it and you can
like loosening a curb strap.
Yes.
Putting the little dog bone bit with the roller, the Elliott mouthpiece that they like, using a different cinch. It's simple things. So
very
I think
much
that's
so.
A cool
so to
topic.
Get back with what you asked, I would say truck has a special place in our heart. But I'm going to say the year that Al Capone, you know, it's funny, we call him, say Al Capone because we always call him Banker, but Banker and I had a French Street to Vegas mare that year.
Yes.
That I won a bunch on, Kimmy Nichols and her husband owned him and, and she, held a huge place in our heart, and I'm gonna say to this day I still keep up with her new owner Emma. And I check on her all the time. And I just love seeing her and Banker out there winning. It makes, even on the bad weekends when you don't get a whole bunch of one, you look back and you think, wow, you know, look the smiles that they're putting on somebody's face, and they're winning. Mm-hmm. They just give you that drive to
keep
going.
It's a good feeling to keep training more out there to go on and win when you're done with them.
It is.
Absolutely. So let's talk about family a little bit, too. I want to kind of address that. So here recently, what have you taken on in your life that is a big responsibility, yes, other than your horses?
Yeah. Yeah, so things have changed. Horses have been our priority, mm-hmm, in Clay and I's life. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been together for 11 years, so for 11 years,
wow,
horses have been our priority.
And Clay is?
Yes, Clay's a
vet?
Veterinarian.
That's,
yes,
right, that's right. That has to be a plus.
It is.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Oh,
the only thing is your vet work is done before mine.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I still have to ask for mine to get done.
Oh, that's terrible.
Over a year ago,
yes,
we have taken in my niece and nephew that's now 4 and 5 years, mm-hmm, old to
and
raise.
Precious, let me tell you guys. They have big brown eyes and beautiful.
They are our world.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. It's taught us so much in life. We had decided in life not to have children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clay always wanted children. I felt like we lived too fast paced of a lifestyle.
100%.
I was the type, I said, I wouldn't have kids if I couldn't be fair to them and make them,
absolutely,
priority.
How hard is it to juggle, since you have the little boy and the little girl now, how hard is it to juggle that with the barrel horse still? Like, have you guys kind of, how do you do that? Like,
I didn't
a lot of
think
help?
It was possible.
I know. It's tough.
And as Miss Kimmy Nichols,
uh-huh,
told me one day, Dustin, y'all should have kids. And I said, no, I don't want kids. No kids over here. Not slowing down our life for kids.
Yeah.
And she said, no, you should have kids, and you don't have to slow your life down. You fit your kids into your lifestyle. You don't have to stop living because you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that weighed on me for a long time.
I bet, yeah.
And she explained to me how her and her husband have both been able to be successful in,
absolutely,
their life, even outside of the outside of the horse industry.
You just do it. You learn
and
how to juggle it.
That's exactly
it.
What she
just
told me.
Do
she
it.
Said, you just do it. You don't think about it. You just do it.
Yeah.
So when this came upon us, I panicked.
I bet you did.
I'm not a worrier. If I'm not a worrier. I'm not a stressor.
Yep.
I leave that part up to Clay. He does enough,
yeah,
for all of us. And I broke down. I lost it. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. We have to raise 2 kids and 40-something,
yeah,
horses. And
yeah,
the
how
clinic.
Many do you have in
we
your
have,
barn?
We have a little over 40 at our house.
Wow.
I have 26 in stalls. So it's just full time.
It's a lot.
And you know what?
You make it work.
They're second in our life.
That's awesome.
Because our kids are first.
And that's how it should be. Absolutely.
It
good for
has
you.
Changed our world. And I think the one thing is we said we needed them as much as they needed us. We didn't
that
know
could that.
That
could make me cry. Oh, my gosh. Like,
we
I love stuff
that.
Like
we
that.
We have a very,
yeah,
happy relationship,
yeah,
and we adore each other. But we didn't realize that we were missing them,
yeah,
until we had them.
Absolutely.
And,
oh, my God, they're so cute. Oh, they're the precious, most little things ever. Well,
it's
I'm
changed
glad.
Our world, and for, yeah, the best, we absolutely love it.
And I'm so happy for you guys. I think that
thank
you needed that, and everything happens for a reason.
It does.
And I see you guys together, and it just melts my heart. It's just, it's made to
it.
Be. So,
yes, it is.
So another topic, we better talk about the NFR a little bit, because we got all these couch jockeys, and I'm going to be one of them.
Of
so
course.
There's so many horses this year that so many different people have trained that are going to the NFR, and of course our goat, Cassie Mowry. You know,
yes.
I mean, my goodness.
She's
going to
be there.
Year.
Don't worry about it.
Woo, I love it. And back to Truck for just a moment. He is a horse that you had him for a year or two, didn't you?
I actually had him for longer than that.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
I had Truck for a long time, so.
Yeah.
Truck came into the picture because I rode for Melissa.
That's right.
Yes.
Yep.
For Melissa Mesh at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was friends with Lance Graves. He was up north, one of the northern fraternities.
Yeah.
And I had texted him and told him if he had come across the Dash of Fame, we would be interested in it. Melissa and I had talked about,
uh-huh,
it. And it was going to get strictly be a horse to ride and sell.
Mm-hmm.
And he texted me back and said, I have one, strong maternal line, whatever, whatever, and I can bring him home if you want him.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandy Wilson had him. She raised him.
That's right. And out of that, Brandy had a couple of good horses.
He had two maternal brothers that won Fort Smith.
That's
by
right.
Dash for Perks.
Yep, yep. That is such a cool story. And I know when you got Truck, like, there were some problems there, you know, and he was a little bit ornery, but you kind of straightened him out, won on him, and the rest was history.
He had a mind of his own, and
he
I
did.
Loved every bit of it.
I know. He was sassy, a
yes.
sassy gelding.
But he was a winner at heart. And
he was had a big heart.
I do believe.
Yeah.
A winner wins.
A
they
winner
find
wins.
A way.
Yep. But he got into your program. You did big things with him, and then he went on, and now look at him. He's doing amazing things.
Yes.
There's so many, and I just always want trainers to get their credit, because there are so many good horses out there that have went through the best trainers that go on to win. Whether they got them later in life and fixed them and helped them and got them in the right hands to win, or by pure accident, I think trainers should always get the credit, and I don't think they get enough credit. So that's always something that's weighed heavy on my heart is, you know, give a little credit where credit is due.
Yeah, so we've been fortunate. And I, in the beginning of my career, I was one to always say, you know, we train this horse or train that horse and whatnot. And one thing I've really, over the last few years, thought about was, you know, we didn't need to say we train this horse or we train that horse, because it shows.
Absolutely.
And everybody's about giving credit in this industry, but don't worry. Those great horses.
Come back.
Yes, that story is told in
it
the
is.
End.
Yep.
And no one will forget you. If you have done your job with that horse, no one will forget you. We had
well said.
I have to think. Clay keeps up with the rodeos and that type of stuff more than I do.
He does. He's a statistics man.
Yes.
He really does, yeah.
And he knows who's running where and what's going on and where so-and-so needs to be and – all year long, that's his thing. At night, we get in bed and go to watch TV, and he pulls the phone up so he can look at stats. So who's winning what?
That's awesome.
But I believe we had like 6 horses this year at circuit finals, different circuit finals.
Oh, that's incredible. Incredible. And you, what is – okay, that's another thing. So you did so good at Ruby Buckle on – was it a JL Dash to Heaven, Mia?
Yes.
Which one was
I won
that?
Mia's Famous in Heaven.
Yes, you won the
first round,
10,000.
Yes.
I watched that run, and it was like butter magic, fast. Oh, my gosh, it was fast.
She's a good girl. She's a gritty one. She's not very big.
But she has
makes
a big heart. And
it.
That's just
yes.
it. There's so many 14-2, 14-3 hand horses. I don't think it's on the size anymore. It's how big their heart is and how much they want to try to do their job and be gritty. I see a lot of people judge, you know, a good barrel horse by their size. But, man, I've seen some 14-2, 14-3 hands horse lay it down.
Some of our biggest winners have been smaller.
Yeah.
And I never paid attention to it till later on. We started getting some much larger horses in and Clay pointed out to me, he was like, you realize in the beginning these larger horses you tend to have a little bit more trouble with and then they come on, whereas in it seems like your smaller size horses you can win on them from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, they're a little more easier to manipulate, they're a little quicker footed, you know. Not say, there's a lot of big horses, because I don't like a big horse. I like a small horse, 14-2, 14-3 hands, maybe 15 at the biggest. But then you see these big ones like, isn't
massive.
That gray horse 17 hands at Cassie
yes,
runs?
He is. He's
hands.
Huge. And the fact
turns
that
like
she
a pony.
Is so tiny
yes.
makes him look even larger.
Oh, my gosh, I know. And he's just an athlete. So size does not always, you know, on a horse, it does not always matter. But like I said, I prefer the little quick-footed ones.
Yes,
more
everybody
than
has their preferences for sure, I think.
So what is the horse, too, that you've won the most money on? Which is the one that you've got the biggest LTE on?
So that would be Ted.
Ted.
Yeah, that would be Ted.
Ted is your personal horse. He
yes.
is by the VF.
He's by Born to
Born
be
to
Famous.
Be Famous. That's right. And he is beautiful, guys. Palomino, tail drags the ground, and a turning son of a gun.
Yes. He is my child.
Yes, I know he is. I know he's very
we
special.
Don't even get to run him much anymore.
I know.
Just because I have so many colts and I mean, he maybe gets to run about 10 times a year.
I wish he was a she.
Yes.
He'd have beautiful babies.
I agree. I pick with everyone because he wears the Equilume mask and for his hair coat.
Oh, how
and
funny.
Every time someone asks me, what do you have that Equilume mask on him for? I thought that's for mares, for breeding. And I said, well, I'm getting ready to do ICSI on him.
I wish. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, you let me know if you get something done that I don't know about, because I've got some good geldings at the house. But so how much have you won on him?
He has about 300,000.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow.
So
you qualified for the American on this horse?
Yeah.
What was the first year you qualified for the American?
I believe he's qualified four times.
Four times.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
So I qualified six times maybe in a row, or seven times in a row before I quit.
Was it on him or other ones?
For the last four times I qualified was on him.
On him, yeah.
So the first time I qualified on Cat's Got Your Cash, she was the Catman Gold Seeker that Jenny and Jeremy Smith owned.
You had a Catman Gold Seeker? Stop it.
I love them.
Is a Kansas bred. Oh, there is a huge story behind Catman Gold
Seeker.
And
the hardest things to find.
Oh, man. Where's my Kansas girls?
Yes, I actually had someone tell me this week they had a Catman Gold Seeker mare out of Jarvis's mom, Cassie's Cassie's good horse. And
I just sold a Catman Gold Seeker mare, Goldie, and I should have kept her.
What?
Just had a
You should have called me.
Lucas Gilbreth's customers bought her, and I am kicking myself in the butt. She had a Phil the Sting baby on her side. I know, I messed up.
And there's not a lot of them anymore.
No.
And they're so underrated.
I know. That is incredible that you had one of those. Not a lot of people know about those and the story behind him. But if you ran in Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska back in the day, you were getting outran by a Catman Gold Seeker. And Denise Hurtlicka ran that stud, and you were getting outran. I'm going to tell you right now. So that is a cool story. And you qualified twice on that horse or once?
Once. I won the American semifinals on her.
That's right. That's right.
And
where's she at now?
She's hanging out, living the best life of her.
Are you
house.
Selling embryos? Because I need to know.
Yeah, you might have to talk to Jenny.
Okay, I'm
I don't think
have to
she's
do this.
Bred her yet, and we've actually
you
talked.
Stop it.
No, but okay. She lives the best life, and we talked about it. I forget, maybe a few months back, her and I were visiting, and she said that she hadn't done any repro work or anything on her, that she just is having the best life. And
well, I'll be talking to you after this.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yep.
But anyway, so is there any kind of like topics that you want to hit? There's something that bothers you or something that you like that you would like to address in the Futurity Derby barrel racing world of any kind? Is there anything that just really is a passion that you want to touch on?
You know,
we hit some good topics.
We did. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to say. I feel like in the horses, there's always something to talk about.
There you is. No, there's to tons about. Of stuff to talk about. You know, so an Eddie winning the slot race, did you see that coming?
I did.
Did you know the horse? Okay.
So I did not, but Elena McKinney, watching, you know, from Louisiana, she comes to Mississippi.
So she's from?
No, no, you know, me being
you
from
being
Louisiana.
There from there. She's Mississippi?
Yeah.
Or?
She's Ohio, I believe, or Illinois.
Cool. Okay.
She's way up north, but kind of on that East Coast, and she comes to Jackson, Mississippi some and stuff. And I first talked to her a little bit and visited with her some and her family. She was riding her really good horse, Cool Memories. And he was a phenomenal horse. And we started noticing her name and visiting. The more I watched, I thought, she's such a good hand. She's so quiet.
And very quiet.
I feel like in the era of barrel racing at times, it's most people don't pay attention to quietness or
they don't.
Easygoingness. Mm-hmm. And when I watched her ride her horses just in the warm-up pen, I thought, that girl has a good feel. She has
like
good
poetry,
feel. She has
emotion.
Good hands, yes. Mm-hmm. And those are the type of people I could sit and watch all day. It's funny because Michelle McCauley, she trains, she's been AQHA Woman of the Year before, and she trains working cow horses, and she
like
still rides a lot of our colts. We're blessed to get her still on some. And I could sit out there all day till night and watch her walk a horse around. Just walking, I think, wow.
That's cool.
It's just,
so and now I'm going to go watch her ride that you say that.
Elena reminded me of that. So she leased Courtney Kaiser's slot in the slot.
Yes.
And Courtney told me she had leased it to her, and I thought, well, you leased it to somebody that has a chance, because
that's
girl can ride.
That's right.
So
that's cool. You
I'm
know the
so
story
happy that
yes.
she's won, and I don't know her personally, I'll be honest.
Oh.
But
well,
I watched
her
from
her.
A distance, and I mean, I'm truly, truly, you know, so excited to see her win, because she has horsemanship. She's a
We're going to have to get her on here and talk to her. That would be super cool.
Yes.
So a couple more things before we wrap this up. What do you think the industry needs to improve and grow, to stay good? Is there something about the barrel horse industry that could be improved to make it grow and do better? Like, if you kind of had to think about that, what are some of the number one things that we need to keep alive and keep going for the horses to get bigger? Or is it so big now that there's nowhere to go? Have we reached the top with the incentives that everything is going? Is it going to come down? Like, what is your prediction for the future? I know it's a tough topic.
It's very tough. And everybody has an opinion.
And let's hear it. I love opinions.
So my opinion is, I don't believe we've reached the max in the barrel horse industry, because I feel like that would be cutting ourselves as trainers, as owners, just as a group, as one. That would be cutting ourselves short, because mm-hmm. I don't believe that you ever really reach your full potential.
Amen.
As
love
a person,
it.
As an industry. I'm not going to preach the Bible to anybody, but as long as you have a little bit of faith, anything can be done. And I do truly believe we have a long ways to go in our industry.
I love it. That gives me goosebumps.
But
yay.
I would say if we were to improve anything in our industry, I think opinions are great. And not everyone is going to be on the same page, if that makes sense.
No.
But when I look at our group, our industry, a lot of times compared to the other industries that I've competed in, it's more into groups.
It is. Absolutely.
Instead
there are
of
groups.
Being a whole.
And I think that is something
and
that,
I think our industry could do better if we were a whole. It is
segregated.
You just see a lot of everyone's opinions at times.
Instead of coming together and
making
things work.
Instead of, like, let's just all
work together.
Do this together, and we can agree to disagree and make this the best.
Absolutely. Well said. And I think you're 100%. I think you hit that note perfectly. The other thing, too, is if you could pick two traits out of a horse, what two traits would you pick? Like, is it quick feet, fast, long-strided, short-strided, bendable, picks up leads good? Like, what two traits? Personality? What would you do?
Okay, so one thing would be personality.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a personality trainer. Most of the time, what other people would go to pick out would not be what I would pick.
Oh, I like this.
If, and as horrible as this is to say, if it comes after me to bite me and it wants to love on me in the stall and not give me any personal space, I love it.
Want that horse that comes
I
to
want
you.
It in my pocket. I want it by me all the time.
I like that.
If, you know, a lot of people see Ted and they're like, oh my God, he's a handful. And I'm like, well, he's not. The kids love him. He loves the kids. He has the biggest heart in the world.
He has a lot of try.
But he will pick you and play and jump on the end of that lead rope, and he has a personality. And
but he's happy.
Every really, really good horse that I've ever had has always had that just standout personality that separated him from another horse. They were confident,
so true.
And they never let anything get them down.
And that is very true. A lot of the good horses that I've had come through my barn that I've sold, people went on, they've had cool personalities. Like, whether it's hard to catch, but once you get a hold of them, they're like little pets. Just like a play game. And there's, like, Fancy, for instance. Like, she's hard to catch, but then once you get her caught, she's like, let's do my job. It's time to go. Give me some cookies, you know. So, super sweet mare. That's a mare that's owned by Gil, by Frenchman's Guy that I sold to her. Oh. She's amazing. So, has a great home. Also, if you could pick two traits out of a human, what would you pick to make that person, you know, like, just two traits? Would it be?
Don't make me talk about my husband on here.
Oh, well, if I had to pick two traits, I could even start first is loyalty and honesty. And those two can almost go together in a way, but those are my two biggest pet peeves is do not lie to me and be trustworthy. Loyalty
so
and honesty.
I would agree with you on that 100%.
You like it too? Okay.
Yes. So mine, of course, same as my horse's, is personality. And Clay is opposite of me to the max.
My husband, too.
He
That's
balances
why
you
guys love
me
each
out.
Other.
So I would have to say personality. Okay. And I guess I want somebody, everybody has weaknesses.
Absolutely.
I want somebody that strengthens my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And Clay definitely strengthens my weaknesses. Where my weak spots are, he tries to make me better. Mm-hmm. So, and that's as a competitor. That's as a person.
Yes.
As a trainer. And
do you help that? Do you think that helps let you, or not? I'm not going to say let you. You work very hard. But to be a winner. What
Most
helps
definitely.
You be a winner?
He is a big, yes. big part in me being a winner.
Absolutely. And
I will
could
give
not
him credit for that. He makes me better.
Behind every winner, there's always somebody standing there supporting you.
Yes.
Whether people know that or not, you know, a lot of people, you know, oh, I've got it so rough. You're out there winning. But there's somebody behind them supporting them.
Yes.
Nobody can do it on their own. I don't care who they are or how they say it. You have to have somebody behind you.
You need another set of eyes. And Clay doesn't
Absolutely.
Ride. He doesn't, you know,
he
doesn't
train. He sees what you don't see.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I mean, I know he's, I mean, there, you obviously don't have to say his name and introduce him, but Michael Boone and Cassie have been so much help to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they didn't have to do those things and give me advice that they do. And to be honest, those two are good for our industry.
Oh, my gosh. I worship
I mean,
the ground both of them walk on.
We can barely keep up with her.
I know.
But
I
there's
know.
A reason behind it.
And there's absolutely.
She's a great person, and he's a great person. And, I mean, I just – they have – helped me out of a lot of tough spots with horses before. And, you know, you can't thank somebody enough for something like that. You have to have another set of eyes. And us, Clay and I live in Louisiana, so there's not a whole bunch of futurity trainers there, you know.
There's not.
At all.
At all.
So I don't have anybody that I ride with at home during the week.
You do ride by yourself a lot.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the quietness. Sometimes.
I do too. I live in northwestern Oklahoma in the middle of nowhere. And
I think it's,
riding.
You know, our clients pick with us because they always tell us, well, when they're finished, you always have the most solid horses, but you have so much patience. And I was like,
spend
I have patience with horses, not people.
People, I know.
And I can walk that pattern 50 times and go get off, not even trot. I just could walk the pattern a million
Gail,
times.
Gail, what have we talked about walking the barrel pattern? There are days that I will go out there, never trot, never lope the barrel pattern. We walk it. We put the feet in the Oh, my gosh.
Everywhere,
I could go on and on about this, walking the pattern.
Just like you run. And
yep.
to be honest, you know, I've had help with others in this industry, but some of the ladies, I think, that have given me some of the mm-hmm. Some of the best advice over time mm-hmm. are somewhat of the same era. And it's crazy because they've been so Peanut O'Neill, Merle O'Neill,
uh-huh.
She owned the Stallion Reds Western Native.
Uh-huh.
So whenever I would get in a bind, I would maybe text her or talk to her whenever I'd get to see her. And, you know, she'd always say, work the pattern just like you're going to run
yeah.
it. It's just at a slower pace. Don't change anything. You know, just put those feet right there. That's all you have to do. Mm. And Kimmy Nichols, I've rode for her quite a bit, and I've been able to ride with her a bunch, and, you know, she does the same thing. And I've been able to pick Kay Young's brain. It's been a while since I've got mm-hmm. to talk to her, but, mm-hmm. you know, there for a while, she also helped me a bunch, and she did a lot of the same things, was just exactly where you run and just that repetition and put their feet where they need to go, that footwork. And
who did you say?
Kay Young.
Oh, yeah, Kay Young. Absolutely.
And then I'm going to say Kay Blanford.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
guys, she's won for decades.
Oh,
you
and that's
name
what
another
I was
trainer
say.
That has just sat around and won for decades.
Absolutely.
And she doesn't care how it's bred.
No.
She doesn't care about any of that.
Yeah,
she's
turned three
just
barrels.
A winner.
Yep. She sends them too. That lady wastes no time. When
no.
she sends one, they are running.
Yes.
And I love it.
Everything about it. And she's told me numerous times, you know, it's just the same thing over and over, the same footwork and, you know.
Repetition.
Yeah. Show your horse and let him show you what he knows.
And one other thing, though, too, let's hit this one time, is every horse going to make a 1D barrel horse?
Most definitely not.
Thank you. There are so many people out there that cannot ride a 1D barrel horse. So that's why I do love this industry, too, being a 4D, is there's so many women that need a 4D barrel horse, that
yes.
need a 3D barrel horse, that need to graduate to a 2D, to a 1D.
It
so,
opens
yes.
up our It opens up our industry.
Absolutely.
Because there's a place for everyone.
That is so right. And I love to hear that because that's one of my most favorite things to talk about in our industry is how everybody can participate because it is a 4D and it gives everybody the opportunity. That's why I do feel like our it has a little bit more of an advantage, you know,
yes.
to keep a place for every horse. So if I have one, I know it's not going to be that 1D winner that I want. It's still worth a lot of money as a 4D barrel horse. And this lady or man that buys this horse is going to love it and have fun.
There's a place for every horse.
Amen. There is a place for every horse.
To be honest, the way our industry is making it out with incentives.
Woo.
I mean,
I don't care what D I'm in. I just want to win one. I don't care which one it is.
I mean, at the Pink Buckle, I'm pretty sure they said the 4D pays the same thing as the 1D.
It did. Yeah, it did. And so I'm like, well, I'll go get me a 4D horse tomorrow.
I promise you, the ones I thought were not ready, I still paid the entry fee to bring them.
Absolutely.
Because
why wouldn't you?
I could
it's
take
worth
a gamble.
Gamble
on it.
It's worth a gamble. You said it. Absolutely. So I think if you could tell our viewers out there that are listening here on Barrel Horse World what to be a winner or to do good in this industry, like what is one piece of positive advice you could give them to keep going, keep trying? Like what is something you would tell somebody that would ask, you know, I mean, why am I doing this? You know, how can I be better? You know, find your why in the barrel horse still. There's a lot of people that are really hard on themselves, hit a barrel, then they want to quit, you know?
I think you said it right there, you know, is to know what your why is.
There you go. Know what you want, know what your why.
And for me, my why I do this is because it's my heart. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine doing another thing in my life. I have amazing people that support me, an amazing family, and I wouldn't want to do anything else except train barrel horses in my life. The hard days are hard.
Absolutely.
But, man, the good ones make up for it.
When you win,
you're going to lose way more than you win.
Oh, I know. Ain't that the truth?
I mean, dang.
Don't tell my husband that.
These horses, right? But... man, that winning.
Oh, it's amazing. I know. I've donated a lot more money than I've won, but I love it.
Do what they can do and be the athletes that they can be. I mean, there's some horses, especially in our industry now. I want to quit what I'm doing. Even when we're at home and we're not at the race, we have it pulled up on our phone to watch certain horses run. Mm-hmm. Not because we know the person riding the horse, but because
we
love to watch the horse run, the athlete that it is. It's amazing what some of these horses can do now. And I think it was once upon a time, we had a few great horses.
Now we have so many of them.
Oh, you can stack them.
And that's the industry is bred so good in these horses. Oh, my God, the breeding is impeccable.
I think we're getting to a spot in our industry now where those great mares.
Yes.
Now are reproducing.
Oh, man.
And
how do you
think
even
that's
get
where it's at?
Oh, I do too. So if you're choosing
on it,
talking about the breeding aspect, I know we need to wrap this up, but this is getting really good. Talking about the breeding aspect of it, what do you choose first, your mare or your stud?
Mare.
Amen. I'm the same way. I've always chose my mare and then the stud. I love mare power.
We will take a gamble on a great mare with a junior sire colt. Mm-hmm. Any day of the week. We've just never had, or should I say, our greater, better horses have always just had good mamas.
Mm-hmm.
They have had
mare power.
Good mamas.
Mare
and,
power.
And if we raise a lot of our own, but if we were, and we buy a few, but when we buy, I buy strictly off of the mom. I just think that's where it's at, and I'm going to stick with that until, I guess my mind changes or I'm proven different.
I know.
I just think you see, and you, I mean, look at it. You see those mares like Dolly now.
Oh, I know.
And they have just a baby by all different sires.
Mm-hmm. Winning. Mm-hmm. Winning. That is exactly right.
We have one specific mare for our clients. James David and Renee Kane own it. And we get to pick a sire to breed her to every year. We've rode every one of her colts. And we tell them all the time, y'all, that mare is just amazing. She has been so good to us. She has a baby every year by a different sire, and every one of them has been a winner.
Done good.
And not been like an average winner. They have been a winner with different daddies on every one of them.
That speaks a lot for
them. And you can't say that it doesn't come from the mare when you can breed to all these different sires and you get winners.
What a good topic. And I truly believe in that. Mare power is where it's at. And I've always said that from the get-go, and so has my dad even growing up. We've had great mares, and there's a lot more great mares coming up in this barrel horse industry.
There is.
Oh, man, a lot
there
of
is.
Them.
And so. You're going to see some in these sales. I mean, I know the prices have been high at a lot of the sales, but if you see those colts that are selling high, their mama was something.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up, and we want to thank everybody for listening on Barrel Horse World and the amazing Dustin Angel.
Thank you all for having me.
Oh, man. Thanks for coming on here. He's an amazing dad,
trainer, and father.
So thanks for being on here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Barrel Talk Radio, Barrel Horse World. Michelle, Dustin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
From the BFA.
You don't mind, really, sorry. You're natural. You just like,
I don't mind talking, but...